So we're very happy to be here. You're very fortunate to be staying in one of the most wonderful projects in ISKCON. You're very, very fortunate devotees. So for the next few days, we'd like to try to have something of a Vaishnav Sangha. And before we begin to speak about our subject, I'd like to speak something about what is a Vaishnav Sangha. We should understand this deeply. In a Vaishnav Sangha, it's not that the speaker is better than the listener. We see in the opening pages of the Bhagavatam the picture of Shukadeva Goswami, who's a 16-year-old boy, and seated listening to him is his father and the guru of his father, Narad Muni. So it's not that the speaker is necessarily better than the listener. In a Vaishnav Sangha, everyone is offered respect. In Jagannath Puri, when people take Jagannath Mahaprasad, it's considered to be such a sacred act that everyone is considered equal because you're coming before God. So in a Vaishnav Sangha, the thing that's kept in the center is Krishna. In this case, Krishna Katha. This is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Satam prasangam amavirya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha tach joshanat asha pavarga vartmani shadha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. It describes an anukrama, or a sequence of events that begins from Krishna Katha and takes us in the beginning from shraddha, faith, to rati, some taste, finally to bhakti. And Vishwanath says this indicates vaidhi bhakti, bhav bhakti, and prem bhakti. And so it begins a satam prasangam. Satam means sadhu. We want to hear pure Krishna katha. We want to hear from the mouth of a pure sadhu. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says there are two types of speakers, the sarag vakta and the nirag vakta, or the speaker with material desires and the speaker without material desires. We want to hear from a speaker without material desires. He says to hear from a speaker with material desires, we don't get very much. So then you may ask the obvious question, and what are you doing sitting there speaking something? It's a good question. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, Bahu Murtika Murtikam. That Krishna is one, but he becomes many, as in the Ras Lila. In his Saartha Darshani commentary, Vishnu says, Chinmayinam Nanati Pyaikyam Abhipretam. That just as Krishna is one, he's Advaya Tattva, so also is Nam. The holy name is one. But just as Krishna becomes many, in the Ras Lila or in Dwarka, so also that one holy name, which we may hear from our Gurudev in Brihad Bhagavatamrita Gopal, Gopakumar, only heard one time from his Gurudev. And his Gurudev didn't even explain the mantra to him. But that one time became many, because Gopakumar continued repeating that mantra. So if we hear from Sadhu Guru, and we repeat what we've heard, my Guru Maharaj used to say, that kirtan of the disciple is another name for shravan, for hearing. So this is our situation. Vishwanath also says that satam prasangam also means, it means to hear from a sadhu, but another word of sat is pure, to hear pure Krishna katha. In other words, to repeat it. Vishwanath in Saartha Darshani raises an interesting question on this verse, satam prasangam. What is the necessity of the prefix pra before the word sangha? Why not just satam sangam? He says, because there's a difference between satam sangam and satam prasangam. What is satam sangam? That means religious topics. It means you should be honest. It means, Naveen, are you vegetarian? Don't eat eggs or fish or anything? Very good. That's important. That's satam sangam. And the Bhagavatam says it means you should chant japa, you should come to the temple, you should take care of your wife, you should be an honest person. These are satam sangam. But Vishwanath says these are not rasayana katha. These are satam sangam is not those things which will heal our heart of the disease of materialism. We want to hear satam prasangam. What does prasangam mean? Prasanga means topics directly about Krishna, directly about the Lord. And this is the foundation of this Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna book in the very early days and told the devotees to distribute that Krishna book to everyone on the planet. I first came in contact with the Hare Krishna devotees in 1972. I was a young boy growing up in Colorado, and we went into an old abandoned house. And on the walls of the house, there were pictures from Krishna book all over. And I had no idea what those pictures were. And I remember standing and looking at them for hours and trying to figure out what that was. So we should hear something about Krishna. Everyone should know something about Krishna. So in the next few days, we'd like to try to speak a few confidential things, because Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, because Guyamakyati Prichati Sadvidin Pradilakshanam, this is one of the angas of loving relationships with devotees, to speak intimate things. If we speak to you about vegetarianism or why you should be honest, it's not such a confidential thing, and we won't go so far together in this Sangha. So we'd like to speak about a very deep topic, a very indescribable topic, which is bhajan in separation. In the material world even, people have a great fascination with separation. And there are so many movies, so many songs, so many books, so many stories, which deal with this subject matter. And it's glorified, it's romanticized, the separation between the lovers. When the mother sees her child die and the separation that she feels from her child. And also in spiritual circles, this subject matter is also glorified. Srila Prabhupada, he speaks about this in many places in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 4, text 197. He says, worship and separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Similarly, in Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, to acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciplic succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. Again, in another purport in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. So many questions come before us. What is this separation? How does it differ from material separation? And most importantly, how does it relate to us? It seems like a very high thing. Prabhupada says here that when we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. This is a very theoretical statement. How many of us can really feel separation from Krishna? How can we feel separation from Krishna? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written one article in Sajjana Toshini, which he called philanthropism. Very big word in English. Philanthropism means to elevate something mundane to the level of spirituality. And he says there that unless we hear from someone who's directly been to the abode of the Lord, how can we understand that abode? Unless someone has been to England and they're living in India, what can they say about England? They can read something from a book, but they're a theoretical speaker. So this is a very important subject, this bhajan and separation. This is the topmost thing. We should hanker for this thing. But how can we have this? How can we feel separation from Krishna? I would hazard to say that for most, or maybe all of us, Krishna is something theoretical. We read about him in a book. Brinda, have you seen Krishna? Has he talked to you ever? No? So how can you feel separation from him? How can we do that? If you tell someone, you should feel separation. If you tell a young lady, there's a boy, you should love him, and he lives in Africa, and you've never met him, and you should feel separation. It has no meaning. So we should understand this subject in a deep way. My revered spiritual master, he liked to recite some verses sometimes from the Prema Vivarta of Srila Jagadananda Pandit. I'll sing those verses, Prabhuji can play Mridanga, maybe, and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Kabu Raja, Kabu Praja, Kabu Viprasudra, Kabu Duki, Kabu Suki, Kabu Kita Kshudra. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Kabu Swage, Kabu Marte, Nada Keva Kabu, Kabu Deva, Kabu Daicha, Kabu Dasa Prabhu. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is our situation. The word Kabu means sometimes. Kabu Raja, sometimes you're a king. Sometimes you're a temple president or a GBC. Very good day. Kabu Praja, but sometimes you're just a common citizen. Kabu Vipra, Kabu Sudra, sometimes the living entity takes birth as a Brahmin, in a very high class Brahmin family. And sometimes he takes birth as a Sudra and has to serve people. Kabu Duki, sometimes the Jiva is very unhappy. Kabu Suki, and sometimes happy. Kabu Kita Shudra. Sometimes we become a tiny worm in stool. Kabu Swarge. Sometimes we go to the heavenly planets. Kabu Martye. Sometimes we come to this earth planet. Narakeva Kabu. Sometimes we go to hell. Kabu Deva, Kabu Daitya. Sometimes we become a demigod and sometimes we become a demon. Kabu Das. Sometimes we become a servant, and Kabu Prabhu, sometimes we become a master. This is the story of the living entity in this universe, going from one body to the next, with no idea of who we are, why we are, what is the meaning of our life. And indeed, in such a situation, our life has no meaning. Until one day. Ei rupe sansara brahmite kona jan sadhu sange nija tattva avagata han. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Ei rupe sansara brahmite kona jan. In this way, wandering around the universe on permanent vacation, like some science fiction movie, where you never come back from vacation. It's a vacation from hell. E rupa sangsar brahmite kona jan. Finally, one day, sadhu sangha nija tattva avagata han. We meet a devotee. And the devotee speaks to us, nija tattva, you're not that body, you're a spirit soul. And we begin to understand something about our position. Nija tattva jani a sansara na chai kena vaba jinu maya kore hoi hoi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Nija tattva jani a sansara na chai. When we understand this point, that this body is not me. We've heard from sadhu guru. Then kenu va bajino maya kore hoi hoi. We begin to cry. Why have I served maya for so long? What have I done? I've wasted my life just playing games and fighting with my brother. What have I done? At that time begins what our Gurmukh has called Atma Krandana, the crying of the soul. Kinde bole ohe Krishna Amitava Das Tumara Charana Chari Paila Sarvanase Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Kinde bole ohe Krishna Amitava Das. Then we begin to cry, oh hey Krishna, I'm your servant. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Not, I don't mean to offend anyone, not when you give some money and become a life member. Not when you move into the temple. Not when you start wearing a dhoti or a sari or tilak. Not even when you get initiated. But it begins when we begin to cry for Krishna. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, Gatvacha mamanamani rudanti mamasanido tesham aham parikrito nanyat krito janardana nanyat krito janardana. Krishna tells Arjuna, I am not purchased by anyone else. He says, we can paraphrase in a little bhavuk way, don't mind. I don't belong to the Christians. Excuse me. I don't belong to the Muslims. I don't belong to the Buddhists. I don't belong to the Hindus. I hope I don't get in trouble saying this. I don't belong to the Hare Krishnas. But that person who cries for me and calls out my name, I belong to that person. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he said many times that this Krishna consciousness movement is not a religion. In fact, he wrote in one letter, he said, we have many members in our movement who are Muslim, who are Christian, who are Hindu, and they can keep their respective religions. No problem. That's not the purpose for our movement. We've done a little research on this subject. They say several hundred million people in America in the last few years have given up organized religion. People don't like organized religion. And they interviewed those people, and the majority of them say they feel closer to God after they left organized religion. Keep this in mind when you're preaching to people. 30% of the people under 30 don't like organized religion. And so if you go to them and say, hey, we have a great organized religion, why don't you come to our Sunday feast program? Don't be surprised if at least 30% of them tell you to get lost. We can take a poll here. Raise your hand, honestly. How many of you here liked organized religion before you came to the Hare Krishna movement? How many of you joined the Hare Krishna movement because, damn, the way they do their management is just so good. I just love it. Raise your hand. Okay, so this will tell us something. These are the kind of people we have here in the room are the kind of people we can hope to have join this movement. So don't go and tell them about some organized religion, because even the people in this room didn't come because of that. The purpose of this movement is to teach people to cry for God. And that's something which transcends all different religions. There are people, we have friends in Iran. If they openly become a Hare Krishna, they'll be put to death. You can't change in religion. We went to Uzbekistan 2 years ago. And the devotees there, many of them, they're born in Muslim families. If they change their religion officially, the government may kill them or the people may kill them. They can't change their situation. In Kiev, we were at recently in Ukraine, there were, one day the devotees were doing Harinam, and one Orthodox Christian priest was standing and watching. The devotees might have felt a little nervous because they're extremely conservative and very angry toward anyone who has any other religion. And suddenly that priest approached one of the devotees and said, can I have one of your books? This looks very interesting. The devotee said, sure. He gave him a book. And a week later, that priest came to the temple. He said, this is amazing. I'd like to practice this. And he started chanting Hare Krishna. He brought one of his friends. They both started chanting. He finally got initiated. But he never gave up being an Orthodox priest. He might have been killed by some people in his church if he'd done that. He couldn't do that. That was his occupation. That was his career. So he never gave up wearing his Christian robes. He continued giving mass in the church. But he would come to the Hare Krishna temple. And one day, he had some pain in his body. He went to the doctor. The doctor came back and said, sorry, I have some bad news. You only have 2 weeks to live. You have some terrible cancer. It's a true story. And that priest went to the temple and he said, can I stay here? And he was staying in the temple and the devotees were doing kirtan around his bed when he left his body. So this is the Hare Krishna movement. It should be a movement which is open for everyone. And that was the vision that Thakur Bhaktivinoda had. You can read in Chaitanya Sikshamrita and other writings. He said, we should respect other people's religion. They don't have to change their religion. We would just like to teach people this Atmakrandana, this crying of the soul. And whoever they want to call God, however they want to come to Him, however they want to dress, whatever kind of food they want to eat, however they want to think of God, that's fine. But please learn this one thing, how to cry for God. So, Kinde Boli Ohe Krishna Amitava Das Tomara Charana Chari Hoila Sarva Nas. When we begin to cry, oh Krishna, I'm your servant. I'm not just doing a costume contest, and today Sridhar's dressed up in a dhoti. He looks like a very nice Hare Krishna devotee. But you don't know what Sridhar really likes to do. He may not be as saintly as that. Is that true, Brenda? Yes? So we may dress up as devotees, but that's not the beginning of our spiritual life. The beginning of this movement, it's not a cheap movement. The beginning of this movement is when we begin to cry. And when we begin to cry for Krishna, something very special happens. Kripa kori Krishna tare chadana sangsar kakuti kori Krishna jadidake ekbar Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Maya ke pichane rakhi Krishna pani chai. Bhajite bhajite Krishna para padma pai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Kripa kori Krishna tare. Chadanes, chadana sangsar. Krishna is so kind. When he hears the devotee beginning to cry for him, then Krishna, immediately, he relieves that jiva from material entanglement. And mayake pichana raki Krishna pani chai. When that jiva breaks free from Maya's captivating spell, and starts going toward Krishna, then he attains the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. In the Mahabharata, Krishna said, Rinam etat pravidam me hridayana pasarpati yad govindari chukrosha Krishna mam duravasinam. Who is Krishna? Do you know who Krishna is? Who is Krishna? Can someone tell me? No. No. Krishna. Draupadi. We should learn a little Sanskrit. There's a difference in Krishna and Krishna. Or in Hindi, sometimes they say Krishna. Krishna, with a long A in the end, is a name for Draupadi. So Krishna himself said, Rinam, I became a debtor. When Hridayanapasarpati, from her heart, Draupadi began to cry out to me. And he said, I don't know how to remove that debt. So it's such an important thing to learn to cry for Krishna. Sometimes we might cry a little bit. We feel bad. My girlfriend left me. It was the fifth girlfriend who left me. I don't have very much hope. I'm very depressed. I'm crying. Mm-hmm. There's a story that once there was a mother who had two children. She had a little baby who was a few months old. And she had a young boy who was like 6 or 7. So one day her husband was bringing some friends to the house for some meeting, and he asked the wife, "You please cook something." It was very difficult for her because she has a little baby, and the baby's always crying. Every time she goes in the kitchen to try to start cooking, the baby starts crying. So she called for her 7-year-old boy, and she gave him a little money. And she said, "Go downstairs to the shop in the corner, and there's a little red toy with a bell. She told him that that you go down and buy that little toy and you bring that back to me. So the little boy went and did that. So the little boy went down and he bought that little red toy, and the mother gave the red toy to the little baby, and the baby, "Oh, such a nice toy." And he stopped crying. And so the mother went in and started cooking. And then the baby started crying again. And then the mother came back and she took that little toy and started shaking it. And the baby, "Oh, it's a bell. This is very charming. It's so nice." And the baby stopped crying. And the mother started cooking again. And then the baby started crying. And every time the baby would start crying, the mother would come and give the toy back to the baby. But after some time, the baby took the toy and threw the toy and started screaming. Every mother knows that call. "I can't. The toy's not going to work anymore." The baby's saying, "I don't want the toy. I want you." And so sometimes we cry a little bit for Krishna. "I'm feeling very bad. My girlfriend, my husband left me. My husband's abusing me. My best friend took my money." And then somebody gives us a new cell phone. Wow, that's really cool. And we forget all about our problems for a few days. And then we start crying again. And then somebody gives us a new Apple computer. And that's really good. I have the folio on it. And we forget again about crying. We have to come to the point, like this little child, where I don't want any more toys. These toys aren't going to help me. I want you. In this world, everyone has so much hope. We see people, they've been married 8 times, and their wife has left them every time. But still, they're looking for girls. "Oh, she's really beautiful. Maybe this one will be different." They have some hope. But we have to become hopeless, without hope in this material world. There's no hope in this material world. The only hope that we have is for Krishna and Gurudev. So our spiritual life begins in this way. But this is still something theoretical. We need something practical. And Krishna consciousness is a very practical science. If we really cry to Krishna, then what happens? Krishna will come to us. He may not come to you in the form of Gopinath with his flute, with Radharani by his side. But he'll come in the form of Krishna Kripa Sri Murti, Sri Gurudev. Sri Gurudev is Krishna's personified form of mercy. Sadhu Guru is how Krishna gives his mercy. And this is a practical thing. If we just go and tell people, "You cry for Krishna and Krishna will come," what good is that? But you cry for Krishna and Krishna will come to you in the form of Guru. In that form of Guru, Charyamam Vijanayan, Namam Nanyeta Karichit, that's Krishna who's come to us. That's something practical. And sometimes we see that people don't cry, but they still get Guru. You may say, "It's not necessary. This sounds very theoretical. Maybe this sounds very, like, even Sahaja-like. Why should we cry?" Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's written in The Harmonist. He said, at the dawn of our spiritual life, means in the beginning of our spiritual life, we sincerely and with complete submission and self-surrender pray to God for receiving the protection of Sadguru. To paraphrase this in another way, this is the beginning of our spiritual life. Not religious formalities, not just joining an institution, not just giving money, not just changing our dress or any of the unlimited numbers of external things that we like to avoid the real issue with. We have to really cry. We have to really want Krishna. Krishna's not a cheap thing. And Guru's not a cheap thing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, the Supreme Lord, at that time, perceiving our earnestness and devotion, in other words, according to the quality of our sincerity, he looks and tests. Do they really want me? What do they really want? Oh, Brinda just wants a shiny red bicycle. She doesn't really want Krishna. Is it true? Good. Perceiving our earnestness and devotion with a view to guide us on the true path, Krishna will send a real guru to us. Because guru is sent by Krishna. We oftentimes go to Hungary. And when we give talks here, I generally tell the people that I have no good qualification. I'm from America. I'm not a very learned person. But I have one good quality. I married a Hungarian girl. And they like that somehow in Hungary when we say that. So I live most of the time in India. Now what if I decided one day that I think I'll open up a Hungarian embassy in Bhubaneswar where I live because I'm married to a Hungarian girl. I can do that. And I'll open up a branch representing the Hungarian government. They'll come and put me in jail. I'm not qualified for that. So guru is Krishna's representative. It's not just that any person can decide I'm going to represent Krishna because I have the mantra. In one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all of you be guru. And we are guru. But to give diksha and to be the paramarthic guru, the Sri Guru, Sadguru in someone's life, that's a very big thing. It's not just so we can self-appoint ourselves. Sometimes when people speak about guru, I say, well, guru means aqua. Aqua, what do you mean? Aqua means water in Latin. But aqua means authorization and qualification. Two things. That's guru. Authorization and qualification. Guru is Krishna's representative. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that when we cry to Krishna, when we pray to God with sincerity, then to help us, Krishna, he'll send us a real guru. And he goes on to say, otherwise, it's impossible for us to find Sadguru by our own energy, by our own fallible energy. We have no ability. Vaishnava Chinide Nai, Devera Shakati, Jagadananda Pandit says, even the demigods can't see who's a Vaishnav. Think about that. We often quote this verse. The demigods means Indra, Agni, Vayu. Vayu can perceive anywhere there's air. In every body there's air. In every body there's fire. But they can't understand who is a Vaishnav. They're hearing from Narad Muni and from Brihaspati. They're living for millions of years. But they can't understand who's a Vaishnav. And they're devotees. Indra Riv, Yakulam Lokam, Ridayanta Yuge Yuge. They're not small-time devotees. Krishna says, I come again and again to help Indra. They're big devotees, but even Indra can't understand who's a Vaishnav. We can't see who's a Vaishnav. So this is the first test of spiritual life. Atmakrandana. We have to cry to Krishna. We have to have some faith in Krishna. And if I cry to Krishna, Krishna will help me. Why will we take shelter of this person or that person? Why will I take shelter of Madhava Gauranga? Who is guru? You tell me. He'll tell me something based on his senses. And I may be cheated. And you might even come to a great Sadguru. But it doesn't really work. Just like three things are required to make a building. Cement, sand. Those are two things. You may have first class cement and first class sand. But you'll never make a building out of those two articles. You need a third thing, which people don't take very seriously. Water. So that water, which we don't take very seriously, is our sincerity, is our faith. We have to cry out to Krishna. Some devotees, they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. But one such devotee who was for some years apparently close to Srila Prabhupada, he traveled with Prabhupada, he was doing so much editing for Prabhupada and things. One day, after he started associating with some Babaji's at Radhakund, he came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, please bless me that I can find a bona fide guru." And Prabhupada cursed him. He said, "I bless you, you won't find a bona fide guru for thousands of lifetimes." So it doesn't mean just physically coming close to someone, but it's a relationship. And the relationship, all relationships in bhakti are based on Krishna. Krishna's in the center. And when we cry for Krishna, then Krishna sends us Sadguru. Huh? We may get the same guru, but if we're not crying, it's not the same kind of connection. But if we cry in our heart, and we know then, "Oh my God, I cried and I prayed. I prayed to Prabhupada. You please send me someone like you." And Prabhupada did that. Wow, this works. This is something real. Prabhupada's a real, it's not just someone we worship in Guru Puja and jump up and down and say, "Jai Prabhupada." But he's a real person I can take shelter of and he can help me. So this realization is very important in the beginning of our spiritual life. We need to learn to cry. Because we have no ability to see Krishna. We have no ability to come to Krishna. We need his mercy. And that mercy, Krishna Kripa Sri Murti, comes in the form of Sadhu Guru. Gurudev is our everything. Right? As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once said, he's both the legs and the ground on which we're to walk. He's our everything. We don't know Krishna. We can't come to Krishna. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Prana, "Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta sate janaha." All those people who have those t-shirts that say, "I," and have a big heart, "I love Krishna." Krishna says, "I don't know who they are. They're not my devotees." But mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas te me bhakta tamo mataha. That person who's a devotee of my devotee, he's my real devotee. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. Association with devotees is the birthplace of bhakti. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sangha. The Brihanaradiya Purana says this. Chaitanya Charitamrita says this. This is the beginning of our bhakti. It is our bhakti. Our Gurudev is our everything. We have to cry for that. We want that. So the beginning, we cry for Krishna, and then Krishna comes in the form of guru. But still, crying for Krishna is a very theoretical thing. We have one friend, Jagadatma Prabhu, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he was taking siksha from our Guru Maharaj. And one day he came to Guru Maharaj and he said, "Guru Maharaj, you speak so much about crying for Krishna, but it's theoretical. How can I cry for Krishna? How can I understand what it means?" And our Guru Maharaj told him, "After I leave this world, you'll understand." So there's something which is so terrible. Sometimes we have a doubt. And if we have a doubt, we think about it, and sometimes we're very honest, we express it, and it's good for us. But there are some doubts which are so terrible, we don't even want to acknowledge them. We don't even want to look at them because they frighten us. We fear that they're going to destroy my very existence. I've seen this doubt on the faces of some people after the disappearance of Guru. In the presence of Guru, people are so happy. We were mentioning this the other day when our Guru Maharaj would give lectures in Bhubaneswar. At the end of the talk, he would throw the garlands to the devotees. And there was one devotee, one god brother, who would jump up so high and he would always catch the garland. He had so much Guru Bhakti. And one day he jumped up so high and he fell down. He landed on top of Guru Maharaj. And we saw so many devotees who had so much bhakti for Gurudev. But then after he left, they all went away. And you could see a very terrible doubt on their face, a doubt which is so terrible they couldn't even express it. Did Gurudev die? Is he gone? I can't see him anymore. Such a terrible doubt. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sajjana Toshini, he says that for such people, their Gurudev is not dead. They're dead. Their man morabhav, he says. They're brain dead. Because they think that their Gurudev is a mundane person. Their relationship with their Gurudev wasn't for the purpose of Krishna. It wasn't with Krishna in the center. Krishna never dies. Krishna's eternal. And he's always present. He'll always send his representative. If your Gurudev is Krishna's representative, how can he die? He's Krishna's representative. He may hide. After our Guru Maharaj's disappearance, we went to visit one wonderful Vaishnava. His name was Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, the very beloved godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, who passed away some years ago. And we asked him, Maharaj, what should we do? And he told us, don't think your Gurudev is gone. You should think that he's hiding in the bushes to see what you're going to do now. It's a big test. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes two different types of disciples, the Bahirmukh Shishyas and the Antarmukh Shishyas, external disciples and internal disciples. The external disciples are Anartha Yuktavasta. They have anarthas in their heart. And their darshan of their Gurudev is Bhogya darshan. They think he's something for us to enjoy. But the Antarmukh Shishyas, the internal disciples, they're Anartha Muktavasta. Excuse me, they're free from anarthas. And their darshan of Gurudev is Savya darshan. They see that he's meant to be served. And he's always present. There's no question. My Gurudev is always present. We may ask a terrible question. We may think, Krishna, you did a good job. Nice universe. I like the sunrise and the sunset. The Grand Canyon's really beautiful. You did a lot of beautiful things in this world, but there's one thing that you did, Krishna, which is not so good. I think it's some mistake. By the natural course of events, generally speaking, our Gurujanas are older than us. And usually, they leave this world before us. In the language of my Guru Maharaj, he said that when that happens, a very dark period then comes. We see that in ISKCON, we're being very frank. When Srila Prabhupada was present, he was so effulgent, and everyone had faith. And even though we had people from such a wide variety of backgrounds and social, physical natures, psychophysical natures, still everyone was able to get together and work together and cooperate because Srila Prabhupada was present. And then after Prabhupada left, it was a very difficult time because there's no one person who can solve all the quarrels, all the disagreements. It's a dark period. Who can I go to? Who will answer my questions? Who will help me? Who is there that I have complete faith in? It's a very, very difficult time. Why did Krishna do this? For a disciple, association with their Gurudev is their everything. And we should get that association. We should try to come close with our Gurudev. We should try to understand their heart. It's very, very important. But then why does Krishna take our Gurudev away? Srila Prabhupada spoke about this in a number of different places. He said some very beautiful things I'd like to read to you. He wrote a letter to Krishnadas in 1968. To feel separation from the spiritual master or Krishna is a very good position. That means one who is in pure love with Krishna and his representative, the spiritual master, he thinks always of them. And this thinking process is Krishna conscious. If we can think always of Krishna, even in separation, that is Krishna consciousness. And on the absolute platform, there's no difference between separation and meeting. The separation is also meeting. Rather, in separation, one relishes the loving relationship more tasty. In other words, in separation, we can relish union even more. Prabhupada says, so don't be disappointed that you're separated from me. I'm also always thinking of you, how you are making progress there. One of my favorite letters from Prabhupada was one that he wrote to Brahmananda Prabhu in 1969. Very poetic. Listen carefully, please. Our meeting and separation in the material world is like the flowing tide of the river. During the flowing tide of the river, so many different floating articles meet together. And with the flowing, they again become separated by the movement of the waves. That is the way of material life. But our separation, although it resembles exactly in the material way, it is completely different. In the spiritual world, separation is more relishable than meeting. In other words, in spiritual life, there is no separation. Separation is eternal, and meeting is also eternal. The separation is simply another form of meeting. Such a very deep and very, very beautiful statement. So in the beginning of our spiritual life is when we cry for Krishna, we cry for Guru. And then when good fortune arises, we may get that association. But still, things are a little theoretical. But then in the separation from that Premi Bhakta, from that Sadguru, again we learn to cry. And this is a great test for us. I've seen so many people. They don't have faith. Again, Bhaktivinoda speaks about different types of disciples. In the Bahirmukh Sishas, there are different types, one of which is a Snehasilita, another which is a Guru Giri. And the Guru Giri and the Snehasilita, they're both Anartha Yukta Vasta. They think that their Gurudev is for their pleasure. They have Anarthas in their heart. I think it's a little late. Somebody needs to go. Please do. And I'll just finish speaking something in a few minutes. I don't want to cause any troubles. If you need to go, please do that. But the Snehasilita and the Guru Giri, they don't see their Gurudev. The Snehasilita, Sneha means affection. And the purpose of his relationship with his Gurudev is to get attention from Gurudev, to get association with Gurudev, to have Gurudev rub me on the head or smack me with a stick, to chastise me, or I get to ride in the car with him. And that's his purpose. And then also I can advertise him and tell everybody I have such a great Gurudev. Such people, you see them, sometimes they're not very interested in hearing what their Gurudev has to say. And their Gurudev is going for a walk and he's speaking and that disciple's in the back. But as soon as someone brings out a camera, then very quick the disciple gets right next to Gurudev because he wants to show everybody, yes, I'm a disciple, Gorgavinda Maharaj. I'm a disciple of XYZ Maharaj. You should know who I am. Give me respect. That's my purpose. And for such a devotee who's looking for affection, when their Gurudev leaves, everything's gone. Who's going to pay attention to me now? Who's going to give me affection? I have to go somewhere else because my Gurudev is dead. He's not present. Your Gurudev's not dead. You're dead. Manmurabhav, you're brain dead. He's still present, but you don't have faith. And so you go from one person to another person and you entertain yourself with different types of association. It may be good association. But is it pleasing to Krishna? Is it pleasing to your Gurudev? The Guru Giri, on the other hand, doesn't have the decency to go away. Rather, he stays. And Giri means business. He makes a business out of his Gurudev. And he becomes Guru himself. By advertising, I'm a disciple of this one and that one, so you should give me respect. These persons don't cry in separation from Guru. And if they do cry, the Snehasilita may cry. They cry because they feel sorry for themselves, not because in separation from Gurudev. So it's a great test when we have separation from Guru and from the Vaishnavas. It's the most painful thing in the world. And therefore, Ramananda Roy, he's described the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dukkha madhye kona dukkha guru tara
Krishna Bhakta Viraha Vina Dukha Nahi Deki Parhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, Dukha Madhye Kon, Dukha Guru Tar. What is, of all the different types of distress and suffering, what is the most intense type of suffering? And Ramananda Roy said, actually, I don't know of any suffering in this world. We chant Hare Krishna, there's no suffering. I know of one. There's only one suffering in this world. Krishna Bhakta Viraha. That's separation from the devotees. We should learn to love devotees. It's very important. Sometimes we think there's no love in this material world. And Srila Prabhupada, he wrote one letter to one bhakti in 1973. He says, you refer to the word love several times in your letter, but the actual fact is there's no love in this material world. That's false propaganda. What they call love here is this lust only, or desire for sense gratification. We were speaking about this the other day in Prabhuji's home. So sometimes we think there's no such thing as love. Prabhuji, you can't love your wife. You can't love your husband. You can't even love your children. There's no such thing as love. That's Maya. Send your children away to Gurukul when they're 4 years old and you don't have to call them or ever contact them. People were speaking like this at one time. There's no reason to love your husband or wife. You're not that body. Don't be in Maya. Fortunately, that's a misconception. Prabhupada said in another lecture in Los Angeles in 1970, in the second platform, this means Majjhima Adhikari, we should not only love God, but we should make friendship with devotees who are loving God. That is society. Society doesn't just mean we're initiated by the same person, we're living in the same temple, even we have the same mission. But society means friendship, loving relationships. Prabhupada said, our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. Shastra describes, Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshu Sutatam Tvaya Karya Pritistavaharya Yata Bhakta Nanashati. Very important verse. It says we should learn to love devotees. But how do we love devotees? Prabhuji, want to go and see a movie with me? We'll go to, it's a vegetarian restaurant. We can offer it. We'll ask them for something with no onions and garlic. Is that how we associate with devotees? Krishna should be in the center of everything, in the center of all relationships. If we have a Vaishnava Sangha here, if we want to have Krishna Katha, Krishna has to be in the center of it. If I start speaking to you about how I met my wife, then I would violate the sanctity of the Vaishnava Sangha. It would be an offense. You may be friends with your Gurudev because you like the same kind of books that he liked before he joined. You like the, he was into playing football before he joined, and you also like football, so you become friends with your Gurudev in that way. But that's not coming close to your Gurudev. All of our relationships should have Krishna in the center. So Hari Lila Satochara, we should love devotees by hearing about Krishna with them. It's very important. You should love your wife, love your husband, love your children. Do kirtan together, do service together, hear Krishna Katha together. You should love your Gurudev. And the same way that you have a relationship with other devotees, by keeping Krishna in the center, our relationship with Gurudev is by keeping Krishna in the center. By hearing about Krishna from him. By doing kirtan with him. And a very nice thing. If you do this, then yata bhakti nanashyati, your bhakti will be protected. I was speaking about this a few years ago in Odessa, in Ukraine, and one brahmachari said, no. There's no such thing as love here. You don't have love. And we told him, no, Baba. We have to have love for devotees. If we don't have love for devotees, we'll have love for Maya. And you may have a loving relationship with your husband or wife or your children, but if Krishna's not in the center, you're not loving, it's not real love.
It's something mundane. Sutta Mita Ramani Rachinta Samaj. Vidyapati, the poet, is described. You're keeping your husband and wife and children on the platform of love and not Krishna. So we should learn how to associate with devotees by loving them. And love means kirtan. Love means Krishna Katha, keeping Krishna in the center of things. Loving guru means this thing. And my friend in Odessa said, but if you love devotees, you're going to cry. Because sooner or later, your wife may die. Your children may leave. Yes, you'll cry. But that crying is not like ordinary crying. If we love devotees, if we love our Gurudev because he gave us Krishna, because we're hearing Krishna Katha from him, when that person leaves and we cry, we're not crying for something mundane. We're learning, finally, to cry for Krishna. This is bhajana separation. This is the beginning of our spiritual life, and this is a goal of our spiritual life. So tomorrow we'd like to speak something about separation experienced by the Brijbasis when Krishna left Vrindavan. And on the third day, we'd like to say something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we have enough time, we'd like to get to the point where we speak again how these very high topics we'll speak about tomorrow and the next day, how they relate to us. So we'll stop there. Shishi Radha Gopinath Ju Ki. Shri Jagannath Baladev Shrimati Subhadramai Sudarshan Ju Ki. Shishi Gaur Nityananda Prabhu Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Samaveda Bhakta Binda Ki. Gopremanandi Hari Hari. Vancha Kalpadarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha. Paditanam Pravanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So I don't know what the schedule is and I don't want to cause any troubles. But if anybody has any questions or anything, you can ask him. If you need to go, please go. Be peaceful. Prabhuji. Yes. We don't have to worry. Yes. We're fortunate we don't have to worry about those things if we simply surrender to our Gurudev as we're supposed to. And if we're really surrendered to our Gurudev, he wants us to have association more than we do. How do we get that association? It's easy to say. Bhaktisiddhanta says there's always the presence of Mahabhagavats on the planet. We should understand that. If we don't believe that, you're an atheist. Because Krishna is always present. This is the attitude of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad, where is your God? He's everywhere, Father. Ah, is he in this pillar? Yes, Father, then I'll kill him. And he pulled out his sword, and he got a big surprise. Because Krishna's everywhere. And Krishna's not alone. Krishna's with his devotees. If we say there's no pure devotees, then you're an atheist. If you say there's no pure devotees in ISKCON, you're an atheist. There's pure devotees anywhere and everywhere. We should only cry for them. But a question arises, a very important question. How do I get that association? How do I know I need that association after the disappearance of my Gurudev? I don't know. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, see, it's a very nice statement from Prithu Maharaj. Yata charit balahitam pita swayam tata tvam ivarhasi nasam hitam. My dear Lord, I don't know what's good for me and bad for me. Just like a father knows what's good for the child, you give me whatever's best for me. This should be our prayer to our Gurudev. And after the disappearance of Gurudev, don't think he's gone. He's watching to see what you're going to do. Will you remember the instructions you've gotten? Will you continue doing the service you've gotten? And if you do that, you'll please him. And if you need something, he'll come in another form. He'll empower another Vaishnav near you. And you'll know that in your heart. My Gurudev sent this person. He sent him. But if you just forget about your Gurudev and you forget about your Gurudev's service, oh, somebody told me I have to have Sadhu Sangha. It's very important at all times. So I'll leave my Gurudev's service. I'll leave my Gurudev's Seva Sangha because Sadhu Sangha is more important than my Gurudev's service. And I'll run here and there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says they'll not get anything. They'll just be cheated. They'll get some external thing. It may look very good, and they may stand next to a sadhu who's very elevated even, or looks very good. And you may get some fame and prestige from that. But your bhakti won't increase, and your connection with your Gurudev won't increase because you've done some offense. We should depend on our Gurudev. Our Gurudev is our everything. I have no right to go anywhere. I told my Guru Maharaj, when I asked him for initiation, I said, Maharaj, I said, I'm an animal. I'm a beast. I have so many terrible desires, but you please make me into your animal. And so if you belong, if you're an animal, you belong to someone, you have no right to go anywhere unless he takes care of it. And he may not make any arrangement for you. He may not send anyone, and you may need someone, and you may cry and cry, and that may be his arrangement. He wanted to churn your heart. He wanted to make you suffer, to see how sincere you are, how much faith you have in him, that he'll take care of you. How can it be otherwise? He's Krishna's representative. He'll take care. But we don't have faith. We have more faith in the power of our senses than we do in our Gurudev. My Gurudev, he's gone. He's dead. He can't help me anymore. But my senses, they'll tell me who's a sadhu. My sense of sight and ears, my brain will tell me who's a sadhu. I'll go there. We don't have faith. Okay? They went to? Some people will tell you, yes, it applies to everyone because our Gurudev is the Acharya after Prabhupada. I don't know. Someone once told me that. He said, Madhavananda, I heard that Guru Maharaj is the Acharya after Prabhupada. What do you think of that? I said, well, sounds nice. Why not? I said, but isn't it up to Krishna to decide that? If I vote something, if I run around with a flag saying this, is that going to make any difference? I'm just going to create a disturbance. Who gives a damn about my opinion? So Krishna takes care. And some devotees came to my Guru Maharaj, some devotees went to other places. Krishna will provide for different people in different ways. It's not that my Gurudev, I'm our Guru, Jagat Guru, my Gurudev is the only one, and your Guru, well, better luck next time. It's not, we shouldn't think like that. It's a very, very offensive attitude. Krishna's there for everyone, and my Guru Maharaj said this. Krishna, he's Samasti Guru. And Sadguru is Vyasti Guru. Samasti Guru means the sum total of Guru. He's like the sun. And Krishna is shining his rays of Vyasti, the Kiran, down everywhere in the world. And he sends so many gurus. And different people may get different gurus. And their guru may not be as advanced. He may be more advanced. But that's their guru. And if they need something more, if they're sincere, Krishna will send that. But we shouldn't try to control people and preach to people, my Gurudev is the best. I'm our Guru Jagat Guru. This is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is a very offensive kind of attitude. Really, what you're saying is that I'm guru. Because I'm going to tell you who your guru is. I'm taking the position of Krishna. That's what it means. We're not giving people, allowing them the dignity to make up their own mind, the dignity to even make their own mistake. We should allow them that. Okay? I'm sorry if that's a little harsh, but we're just trying to speak the truth. Mataji?
You talked about love between devotees. And of course, Madhumanikar also means that they show love in a different way to those who are innocent. Sometimes we think we have to love the devotees and everybody else is less or something.
This is a very important point. The Bhagavatam describes that Prasprana katanam pavanam bhagavadyasaha. We should learn how to love devotees. Krishna tells us to Uddhava in the 11th canto. How do we love devotees? Ishwari taradineshu. Really, love is for Krishna. So we love devotees by keeping Krishna in the center. Bali seshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kipopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. This is the symptoms of a madhyam. He has love, prema for Krishna. And he has some kripa, some mercy for Bali seshu. In Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda elaborates in a very nice way in this verse. He says that Balisteshu are innocent persons, giving mercy to them, we give mercy according to the degree of their innocence. If they're a little innocent and a lot jaded, then we give them a little mercy. If they're a lot innocent, very simple, then we give them a lot of mercy. And dvisatsucha, persons who are envious, and Prabhupada says a very heavy thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, there are many envious persons in this Krishna consciousness movement, and one must neglect them. So someone who's dvisatsu, who's envious, we neglect them. And Bhaktivinoda describes how we neglect them. The point being, if we study this, each one of these relationships, Krishna is in the center of everything. Ishvade, we have prema for Krishna. Krishna's in the center. Tadadineshu, we make friends of Krishna's devotees by keeping Krishna in the center. Baliseshu, we give mercy to the innocent by giving them Krishna. Our loving relationship with Krishna in the center. And then what about dvisatsu, the envious people? Krishna's also in the center of that relationship. How? Bhaktivinoda says that neglecting an envious person doesn't mean that you won't give them food if they're hungry. It doesn't mean you won't give them some shelter in your home or some place if they have nowhere to stay. It means something far, far worse. It doesn't mean that you're not going to speak to them. It doesn't mean I won't look at them. You may look at them. You may speak to them. But it means something much worse. What is that? It means you don't speak Krishna Katha to them. We've maybe experienced that sometimes, even amongst devotees. Hey, did you hear there's this really far out story in Krishna book? And you know, Krishna, the Krishna's sons found this lizard in the bottom. Hey, Prabhu, leave me alone. Don't be a fanatic. I know that story. What do you think, I'm a new bhakta or something? Don't tell me that. Sometimes people become disturbed if you start speaking to them about Krishna. Sachinanda Maharaj told us once that sometimes even in our own movement, if you start speaking about Krishna, then some people will look at you and they'll say, are you sexually agitated or something? What are you doing? It's almost illegal sometimes. But this is a Krishna consciousness movement. We have to keep Krishna in the center. Krishna is love. And that's the center of all of our relationships. We have the answer for loving relationships. But unfortunately, if we're not very Krishna conscious, we can't show that very well. And many times our relationships are really dysfunctional between the husband and wives, between devotees. The brahmacharis should love brahmacharis. Sannyasis should love brahmacharis. Husbands and wives should love each other. Parents should love their children. Children should love their parents. But we should love each other with Krishna in the center. Is that okay? Thank you. Anything else to say? That's a very beautiful comment. I appreciate that. If somebody's listening outside and she's saying that we can't, if somebody doesn't want to hear from us, we shouldn't just assume that, oh, they're envious because they don't want to hear from me. We should think, oh, maybe I have some fault. In the Bhagavatam, it becomes confusing if you study cosmology, because in one canto it describes the universe from the bottom looking up, and another canto describes the same universe from the top looking down. In other words, there's two bona fide perspectives. And there's at least two bona fide perspectives to everyone, everything. Anvaya vyatireka byam yat shat sarvata sarvata. The one of the mula shlokas in the Bhagavatam says is directly or indirectly. So there's always two ways to think of things. We should ourself be humble and think, if someone comes and speaks Krishna Katha to me, I should be very happy to hear it. And even if that person may want some prestige and may want to control me or something, still they're speaking some Krishna Katha. I should like that. But on the other hand, if I speak Krishna Katha to someone, I start telling some story to Brinda and she becomes angry with me, leave me alone, why are you telling me this? Then I should think, yes, Brinda's right. I'm not a qualified person. I'm not very pure. And therefore, let me become more pure. She's given me a good message. The basic principle is Ashradhani Vimukhe Prashinvati Yaschopadesha Shivanama Paradha. Padma Purana says it's the ninth offense of the holy name. If someone doesn't have faith in us, we can't speak to them. So what do? How do you preach to someone who doesn't have faith in you? Then you have to behave in such a way to create faith in them. And one of the best things to do is to be detached. and not try to force them. Okay? Very nice comment. Thank you. Anything else, is there? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Binda ki, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo. Go ahead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you, Bhaji. This is the best thing for me. It's like this.